Our scripture lesson this morning is one of those that I experienced. I remember, I've probably heard it before that, but I remember in third grade Sunday school, the teacher comes up and he says, "You know what? God calls all of us to be disciples." I just kind of went in one ear and out the other, but I decided I would pay attention and see who it was that Jesus was calling and what we were supposed to do about that. Well, as it turned out, in this passage, all Jesus called were fishermen. There's just something fishy about that story. I don't know exactly what that is. But what I do understand is that, yes, Jesus called fishermen. Okay, wonder what that is that's telling us that Jesus is placing first. It may be that in the fishing, they're fishing for Jesus, and Jesus wants all of us to do the same. Now you don't even have to listen to the sermon. That's the point, okay? So we'll move with that. But the scripture reading, Jody's going to come and read it for us. So hear what they're fishing for.
Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jody. A little boy was so excited. He had managed to memorize the entire 23rd Psalm. And it was the day when we had recitations, or whatever you call them. You said it in front of somebody else, okay? And he was doing so well until he got to the last part of verse 4 and said, "Thy rod and thy reel, they comfort me." Now, if you know the scripture at all, you'll know there was just a little bit of a difference there. And sure enough, he got through it. Everybody praised God that he did. I had an uncle that I think was as crazy about fishing as this little boy was. Any spare time that he had, he spent it fishing, whether that was in his boat or on the riverbank or in a pond. He just loved to fish. In fact, you'd go by and half the time you would never find him at home. What you would find is a sign on the door that says, "Gone fishing." And that is exactly what he did. And he said, I remember asking Uncle Earl, I said, "Can you teach me to fish as well as you do?" And he'd look at me and he'd say, "Janet," that's the given name, "Janet, fishing ain't no brain surgery. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. You don't have to have fancy stuff that they try to sell you on TV. Sonar and $30,000 bass boats and that such." He says, "Any nitwit can fish." And I said, "Uncle Earl, that makes me feel awful." He says, "Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way, Janet. Look, all you have to do is remember four things, and you can become the best fisher person around." What are those four things? Here we are. Number one, you've got to have a fishing pole and a rod and a reel. Make sense? Number two, you have to have the right bait. Okay? My can of worms I left them outside. You'll be good. Make you feel good just to know. And or you know, you might have something like this. I don't know. I've caught a lot on that. Okay. Got to have the right bait. You've got to know where the fish are. That is really important. You've got to know where the fish are. And you've got to be patient. So that formula, I think Uncle Earl had a pretty good idea of how you fish for people. And I think those same rules can apply for us trying to fish for people. So just going to spend a little time on each one of those, and maybe you'll get motivated, or maybe go, aha, I think I can do that before we're finished. Okay, first, you've got to have a pole and a reel, or a rod and a reel. I started with a cane pole. How many started with cane poles? Aha, we got some good diehards here. All right. Well, you know, you just got to have the right one. And you know, you got to be able to get it out there. Now, I would like big hooks. I want to definitely catch something, okay? And so, you know, and you know, it's kind of fun to kind of cast it out. I don't know where it's going to go, okay? That thing works better than I thought to. I haven't touched this in 20 years. I mean, in a long time. Okay, well, anyway, you gotta have the right pole. I'm sorry, who all did I hit? Okay, Stacy. Oh, I'm sorry. She will not let me in the show next time I go. Okay. You know, this really, That always happened when I really went fishing, too. There's a whole other story there. How my cousin helped me out with that. Anyway, okay. All right, you gotta have the pole. You gotta be able to get it in the water. Okay, but it's not really this that we're talking about when we're saying you've gotta have the rod and reel. You know what you gotta have? You got to have you. Whoa. You, your life. That's what you have to dangle out over the waters where you see all of these fish. Your faith, your values, your lifestyle, your own love for God. That's what makes up the rod and reel so that you can cast it out there and reel it in. Your testimony of what Christ has done for you, that is basically the line, like on the rod and reel. That's the line that draws them in. Now I hear thoughts already coming from you. Well, I don't have much of a testimony. I just can't get into that hellfire damnation stuff that you have to talk about. And I come to Jesus. That's the kind of thing. I can't do that, okay? So you're saying my test line is only like 1 pound. Don't you usually have 15 or something? I mean, a lot more than that. And so I'm not sure, you say, that I can catch any fish. Well, let me try to change your mind on that. When I was about 8 years old, my dad bought me a kid's size rod. So it's probably only about that long, okay? And a new Zebco reel. Anybody use Zebcos? Do they even make them anymore? Duh. None of you have gone fishing, have you? Okay, all right, well, that's why we're here today. All right. Anyway, I got the new rod and reel, and it was at this point that I thought to myself, oh, man, I hope Uncle Earl lets me go fishing this week because I've got something besides my cane pole. And sure enough, he did. I think what happened was my uncle, who's quite the fisherman, probably told my dad, his brother, get that kid something besides a cane pole. And so for my birthday, that's how I got that. Anyway, he called up and said, you and Alan want to go fishing this afternoon? And, well, of course. And so we went with him. He took us to our favorite spot on the riverbank, and we pulled out our stuff and got all ready and got our bait. We got all ready to do everything, and then we got he got us working. And then he went on down a ways because he liked to fly fish, so he had to, you know, sling that thing around. And so he'd have more room to do that there, okay? But a man came that we didn't know who he was. I looked at Alan. He looked at me. And I said, don't know, but he seemed okay. But he was weird, too. He didn't have a tackle box like this. I swear it looked like a suitcase. Huge. And then he pulls out his rod. He unwraps it out of this real soft cloth material. Looks, you know, it slid the rod in that. So he took it out, put it together, put the reel on, all this kind of stuff. I thought, that's pretty fancy dancy for, you know, southern Missouri creek that you're fishing in. Anyway, so he settled in, and then he was fishing. Then all of a sudden, my pole, that short thing I had, I swear it went like this. And I thought, oh my gosh. So I yanked on it, and when I did that, it didn't move. In fact, I could just brace myself. And the tension there, nothing moved. So I knew what I'd caught was big. Just didn't know what it might be. I was hoping it was a fish. But I yelled. And the reason I yelled was because as strong as that was and as hard as I was tugging, my bottom was on the ground, and I kept slipping toward the water. That fish was pulling me. And I was panicky because I didn't swim. And Uncle Earl, help me, help me. Well, the man who was there was pretty close to me. And so he comes up and he grabs, along with me, the rod. And we're both pulling. And he pulls and I reel. He pulls and I reel. And by that time, Uncle Earl gets back up there. And he brings his fish net and he goes out on a rock. And as we got the fish close to the shore, he reaches down with the fish net and gets it. He took all of us to bring that fish to shore. What was it? It was a 13.5-pound catfish. Still the biggest fish I've ever caught. And, you know, they do like to fight with you a bit. And so that's, he was tough. But it's the biggest one I ever caught and probably ever will. And by the way, that day, the man with his fancy dancy stuff, he didn't catch anything. And that just goes to tell you, you don't have to have the luxury stuff. You don't have to have your testimony all point one, point two, point three. You don't have to have any of that. What you've got to have is your faith in Christ. And you tell the story of how he has touched your life and just share that with others. Simple as that. That's what you got to do. All right, number two, you've got to have the right bait. Well, you can fish with minnows. I always like worms. I seem to catch more fish with worms. I remember my aunt, this was my uncle's wife, she wouldn't go fishing because of worms. And I said, well, you can use minnows, or you know, you can use some kind of lure, she said, I don't like worms. And I know you catch more fish with worms. That woman, so she didn't have to touch a worm, would get two little sticks, put the worm down on the ground, put one stick on one end, take a hook, because somehow when you push down here, the little worm came up like this. And she could somehow get that hook on that worm without ever touching it. Then she would fish. And she always seemed to catch something. That was just a sidelight. I'd forgotten about that. The other stories. Patty sat and listened to this all the way through. Okay. The right bait. Right bait. You can use any of those things. And it's interesting that we call these lures. Is that correct? A lure? Okay. Because you see, what we have to realize is, what are we really using to lure people to go fishing for people? When we're fishing for people, you know, what is it that we use? Well, technically, I'm just here to tell you, the only thing that you need to lure people in is Jesus himself. Just share that story of his story in your life. And when you do that, you know, you're going to be able to catch a whole stringer full of fish. You don't have to use these kind of special lures at all. Just offer him the one who has caught you, who has touched and, let's say, transformed you with his love and his grace. That's all you have to do is just offer them Christ. We at the church, and it's not just this church, it's all churches, in order to lure people in or to get them in, it seems like we offer everything but the kitchen sink to do so. All the programs, all the activities, and there's nothing wrong with those. But we've got to make sure when we do that, that indeed those things that are luring people in, it isn't just things. Jesus is what needs to lure them in, and he will. But that's the thing that you got to make sure with whatever you're proposing or offering as a church. You just have to remember that the whole purpose is to get them to know Jesus. And I think we also often fail at fishing for people because many times every church is guilty of this. We're into making church members and not disciples. There's a lot of difference. We want them to be related to the church, sure. But first and foremost, we need to have them know Christ and be able to accept him as the Lord and Savior and follow him. And I fear many times we're more concerned about making church members rather than disciples. Okay, just said that. That's not just us. That's many churches. Our lives make up rod and reels, but the one bait that attracts folks the most is indeed Christ. If you keep casting him into the waters, and if you reflect him and his love in how you live your life and how you worship and on all your programs, he, Jesus, will lure folks and attract folks. He even said it in John 12:32. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people unto myself." Wow. Okay, number three. You got to go where the fish are. Now, you're probably not going to catch too many fish if you don't know where the fish are. So let me ask you today, where are the fish that Jesus asked us to catch? Anybody? Say it loud. Everybody say it. Everywhere. That's right. Matthew 28, you know, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, a good place to start fishing for people is really your own home. You know those folks pretty well. They know you pretty well. And that's a great place to start. And you can go through all the sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and cousins and so on. But that's a good place to start. And then you'll be able to make another step forward because you need to be just alert as you go around your daily activities and living your life that you can throw a line out, one or two, and say a word for Christ to let him come through your words and your actions wherever you are. And that could be at the grocery store, could be with a neighbor over the fence, could be at school or at the job. The streams are just bursting around here, and especially here in Blue Springs, with hungry fish. We need to be fed. They need to be fed Christ. So go where the fish are, where the people are. And lastly, you've got to be patient. Oh, I don't like that one. I've never liked that. I'm not a patient person. I like to get it done right, and go on and move to something else. That's the way it is. And when I first started fishing, I would do just really fine. I would just start out, and I'd cast, and then I'd reel, and then cast, and a reel. And if I hadn't got a nibble or caught anything in 5 minutes, that was it. I just threw down the rod and reel. That was it. I had no more patience than that. My uncle gently reminded me one of our times out. He says, Janet, a rod laying in the boat or lying on the bank, you know what? Never caught a fish. You'll never become good at fishing without a patient persistence. And that's the same way it is with fishing for people. Don't give up after a few nibbles or no bites at all. You have to keep on casting. Keep on reeling in. Keep on tossing your faith and your love of Christ into the waters so that people can see that and experience it. Never lay your fishing pole down. Not one of these that believes in what I call militant evangelism. So I'm not saying go out there, find a fish or two, a person or two, and knock down their door, get their attention, drag them kicking and screaming to Jesus. I mean, that is not the way to do it at all. Don't knock down doors. You can knock on doors. The doors of all those lives that are around us, that are seeking to get to know them, to have fellowship with them. You get to know you and what Christ has done for you and is doing for you, just so that you can be the one who moves and lives and praises God for Jesus. Such fishing takes patience. It takes time. But you know what? It does catch fish. So think about your own life. Most likely, someone or ones came to you, showed you Christ, and actually caught you. That's probably why you're here today. Someone whose love for you and Christ lured you into that net of the good news of Jesus Christ and his saving grace. So be patient. Never give up on fishing for people. Well, that's about it. Class fishing 101 for people. And I know you sit there, and if you're like me, I sleep through most of the sermons. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to repeat the main 4 points of how you can do this, and you're going to see it on the screen, and when it comes up, we're going to read it together. Ready? Okay, got to have something to fish with, got to have the right bait, got to go where the fish are, got to be patient. Oh, and I didn't tell you, that sign on my uncle's door, gone fishing, you need to read the sign underneath it. It said, you should go fishing too. Let us pray. Oh, God, it makes us a little nervous to go fishing for people. But help us to remember, it's not about us, it's all about your blessed Son, who takes hold of us and lets us share him with those around us. And so, Lord, we really have an easy job. We just need to go fishing. Amen.